The Missouri State Fair has been around since 1901, and it's housed on 396 acres in Sedalia. This year's fair begins Thursday and runs through the 17th. The Kansas State Fair began in 1913, and it covers 280 acres in Hutchinson. The fair opens in a month and runs from September 5th through the 14th. Today, a roundup of champions, those rare individuals in Missouri and Kansas who can claim they are state fair winners. We're going to meet several of them here this morning. That sound is called the Auctioneer's Chant. It's our first state fair competitor, Justin Schultes. Justin is the current Kansas Auctioneer Champion in Kansas. He's also part of his, family business, Schultes and Son Incorporated, which provides real estate and auction services. And Justin, so good to have you. Congratulations and welcome. Yeah.
Good morning. It's glad to be here.
How big an honor is it to be the Kansas Auctioneer State Champ, Justin?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it really means a lot to me to be the 2013 Kansas State Champion Auctioneer. It's just a great honor. It's something that a lot of great auctioneers compete against, and I'm just very privileged to be the 2013 Kansas Champion.
And I'm just guessing here, it probably helps business at least a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it doesn't hurt anything. It sure does help. I'm also the 2010 Nebraska champion, and it is a privilege to be able to represent both Kansas and Nebraska as past champions.
Hey, I was going to ask you, how did you become an auctioneer? And maybe the answer to the question is, you didn't have any choice given what your family business is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been going to auctions since I was just a week or two old. You know, it is a family business, and I've just really always enjoyed auctions and enjoyed going to them. And when I was 13, we were at a sale, and I told my dad before the sale, I said, you know, Dad, if you need a break, I wouldn't mind giving auctioneering a shot. And he had never heard me practice or anything before. He had no idea I could do it. And he said, okay, well, yeah, that's fine. And about an hour and a half, 2 hours into the sale, he leaned over to me and said, you ready to sell for a little bit? And I said, well, yeah, I guess. And, you know, I'm only 13 years old. And so he hands me the microphone, and he goes off, I think, to get a water or something. And as he's walking away, I start selling my first item. I think he might have thought I was just going to stand and tell jokes or something. But anyhow, he turned around, came back, and saw me sell my first few items, and it's been a lot of fun ever since.
What was the first thing you sold? Do you remember?
First thing I sold was an old wash tub.
Of course. Yeah. And how did your first go at it go for you?
Well, everybody said that it went well. I was so nervous. I could hardly think straight. And your nerves never go away no matter how many years you're in the business. But that time I just remember I was just so nervous I could hardly stand up.
Why do your nerves never go away?
Well, you just have, there's so many things that you're thinking about in the process, you know, your items that you're describing, the numbers, you know, interacting with the crowd, and there's just so many things that, you know, nowadays, well, I sell my first couple items and I kind of get set in for the day, but they're always there.
Can I ask you this? You know, what in the world are you saying up there? What is all that stuff? Break it down for me. What does an auctioneer say?
Well, really, the first bid is, first number is the bid that they have, the amount that someone has bid. Mm-hmm. The next number that they call is the bid that they're asking for. Mm-hmm. And everything in between is filler word, basically, and everybody has different filler words, and that's what makes every auctioneer chant unique and something that is really special about the auction industry.
Like filler words meaning what? Walk a step farther with me on that. What is that?
Well, it's just something basically to smoothly transition the numbers. You can use you can just use one word if you want, 25 bid 30 bid 30 bid 5 5 35 bid 5, or you can throw a bunch of filler words in there, like I have $25 bid now, but it gets 30, and just roll them together like that.
So you're just making stuff up on the fly, basically.
Oh, no.
No?
Yeah, no, you really, every auctioneer's kind of got their rhythm and their role, and it really is, every auctioneer's a little unique, but they've got their everybody's got what they do, and they really kind of usually stick kind of to their rhythm.
But who developed this idea of the auctioneer's cadence? I mean, why not just stand up and say, I'm selling this wash tub for $25, and you just fall silent and you wait for someone to raise his or her hand?
Well, I don't know exactly who came up with it, but
who's responsible for this?
How boring would that be?
Well, okay.
I mean, it builds the excitement and kind of makes it entertaining and fun for someone to sit at an auction for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 hours.
You know, you told our intern, Justin, that having an auction is a great way to ensure that the seller gets market value for his or her items. Why is that?
Well, because, you know, a properly advertised auction, you're going to have interest in the items that you're selling. You're going to have, you know, the people there to buy it, and it's the competitive bidding process that gets you the true market value for your items.
Mm-hmm. This notion of the auctioneer's chant, how did you learn it, and how can you talk so fast? Is that just a gift or what?
Well, actually, there are auction schools. If you'd like to go to an auction school, you can sure do that. That's what a lot of people do. I, being a fourth-generation auctioneer and being around it for so long, I just kind of picked it up, and I've never been to auction school, just picked it up and been on-the-job training, basically, is how I learned how to do it.
You know, what makes an auction a better way to go, Justin, you know, than selling an item, say, you know, the traditional way, such as through classifieds or on Craigslist?
Well, kind of like we talked about, you know, you develop the true market value. There's, you know, some people will put something on a classified ad, not maybe really know exactly what they've got or the value of it, and really could have gotten a lot more if they had gone to auction with it.
Yeah. Well, Justin, once you've become the Kansas State champion, can you compete again in Kansas? Or once you've won, are you sort of, you can't do it again in our state?
No, can't do it again. But, you know, it is an honor to be able to be a past champion. And at the contest, they usually have past champions, if they are there, sell a couple items. It's always fun to listen to all the different auctions at the competition.
Are you going back to Hutch again this year?
Yes, I will be there this year and be the MC for the finals.
Oh, good for you. Well, that's Justin Schultes. He's the current Kansas State Auctioneer Champion, and so good to have you, Justin. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. Good luck.
Thanks.
Now let's move on to Lauren Fahmeyer. She holds the first place State Fair ribbon for the Cooking with Missouri Wines dessert contest. She also competes in the First Lady's Pie Contest, and she's owner and operator of the Fahmeyer Family Vineyards and Winery. And Lauren, good to have you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
How did you get into competing with prize-winning desserts at the Missouri State Fair? How did you get started doing that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've grown up in a family that has been involved in agriculture and 4-H and FFA my entire life. And I was fortunate to be raised with a family full of women that were outstanding cooks. And so between the combination of my family and the skills that I learned in 4-H, I really developed a love of food. And as I mentioned, I competed at the state fair as a child, showing livestock, and this was just my way of being able to stay competitive in some way at the state fair.
You know, I absolutely love pie. Love it to death. And I'm wondering, sell me on a Lauren Fahmeyer pie. What kind of pie would you make, and describe it to me? It's almost lunchtime, so you can make me go crazy here. Describe one to me.
Well, I guess I can tell you a little bit about the pie that I'm going to make this year.
Okay.
One of the pies. So there's two categories for the state fair, for the First Lady's State Fair pie contest. My fruit pie entry this year is going to be a blackberry and plum pie.
Mm.
I'm going to, it's going to be delicious. I'm going to add some balsamic vinegar in there with it because when you cook balsamic, it becomes even sweeter. And then I'm going to do a crumb topping over the top of that, and then the crust. I'm a huge believer that the crust of a pie has to be spot on. So I'm going to, the base for this pie will be a cream cheese pie crust.
So a spot on crust is a crust that what?
In my mind, a spot on crust is super flaky, but also has a lot of really great flavor at the same time.
Yeah.
So for me, having a crust that I can either, make a pie with, or I could turn around and make, like a chicken pot pie, so it can be versatile for a savory or a sweet pie is in my mind the ideal pie crust.
Well, I like chicken pot pies too. What's the second category for in the pie contest?
Okay, so in both divisions, so there's the cream pie contest as well. So there's soft pies and then fruit pies.
Yeah.
And so my cream pie this year will be a strawberry lemonade pie. Yeah.
Well, this is called the First Lady's Pie Contest. Does George Ann Nixon actually judge the First Lady's Pie Contest or not?
She's not on hand to actually judge the contest. But we've been fortunate that our governor has kind of been the tiebreaker for the best of show in the past. but it's a lot of fun because the First Lady, she's a very, very, very nice lady and has always been so personable with all of the contestants that enter the pie contest. And so it's just a lot of fun, to be able to show off, our pie baking skills to the First Lady.
Yeah. Hey, how much time will you spend making your blackberry plum pie? How much time will go into that, Lauren?
Well, do you want me to count practice rounds too, or baking in general?
Do you actually make practice pies? And can I have one of those if you're going to discard it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this week I'll be baking quite a bit this week. From a pie, depending on how much, the different types of ingredients, things like that, I'll hopefully be able to get the blackberry plum pie put together within a couple hours, and that includes baking time and the time that goes into making the crust. But, in order to be successful at anything, you have to practice a lot, and you have to, be willing to try different recipes and different flavors and things like that together. And it's all about being creative in my mind. And so the more you practice and the more creative you get, I think the more success you're going to have.
You've won second place in the past. Are you gunning for first place this year?
I am totally gunning for first. So here's a little backstory. My mom, so the first year that I competed, it was just, I just did it by myself for something fun. And my mom and I went to the state fair together, and she went, to support Girls Day Out kind of thing. But my mom has participated the last 3 years. Two out of the 3 years, my mom has won Best of Show in the First Lady's Pie Contest.
Yeah.
So it's a friendly competition between the two of us, to be honest with you, because I tell her each year that I'm coming for her, and this year is still the same because she managed to beat us all last year. She actually won both divisions.
Oh my
last
God.
Year. So yeah, she is the pie queen. So, as I mentioned, I was raised with really fantastic
no
cooks,
kidding.
And, I learned obviously from the best. So, so I'm hoping that I can get around her this year. So
well, Lauren,
you actually did. Go ahead.
You're no slouch because you've also won first place in the Cooking with Missouri Wine Contest. What was the prize-winning dish for the Cooking with Wine contest?
So last year I won the dessert competition, and I made a mixed berry pavlova. So pavlova is a meringue-based dessert. And I topped that with fresh berries and then made a sauce. using raspberry, or actually, no, our vignal wine from our winery at our family farm.
Man, that sounds great. Hey, do you make cherry pie, too?
Of course I make cherry pie.
Okay.
Yeah, tart cherry pie.
We got to talk sometime, Lauren. That's what's going to get me there.
I
want to go right down, right there. Well, listen, good luck this year at the Missouri State Fair. So good to talk to you. And your blackberry plum pie sounds just absolutely magnificent.
Thank you so much.
All the best, Lauren. That's Lauren Fahmeyer. She'll be competing in this year's Missouri State Fair for the best pie, for also cooking with Missouri wines contest. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the best marching band and the reigning Kansas State Fair arm wrestling champ. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Drums of Haven High School Marching Band in Haven, Kansas. For nearly 25 years, this marching band has received a superior rating of 1 at the State Fair competition. Their director, Brad Shores, is taking a break from band camp, and as we speak to him by phone. And Brad Shores, welcome to Up to Date. So nice to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Where is Haven, Kansas, Brad?
Haven is about 20 miles northwest of Wichita. It's right on K-96.
No kidding. What inspires you to compete each year and herd around high schoolers in 100-degree heat? Is it the fame? Is it the glory? Is it the money, Brad?
I sure wish it was the money.
Yeah.
I enjoy working with the kids. They get up for this time of year. In fact, we're having drum rehearsals right now, and they're just very excited, which motivates me. The State Fair is the first competition that we do every year, and it kind of gets everybody online for what the rest of the year is going to be like. It forces us to be camera ready very early.
I was going to say, you're obviously, I'm guessing your goal again is a superior rating of 1 at the State Fair competition. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's a 1+ is always what we go for, and I describe that as an A+.
A 1+, okay. Can you get a score of 2 or 3?
Yeah, you can. There's 2+, 2 minus. It's sort of like an A+, B+, B-. So if you think of it that way, a 2 would be a B and a 3 would be a C, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I gather after 25 consecutive years of earning superior ratings, that puts a little pressure on your group each year, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it's definitely a challenge. But I would say that the State Fair judging is very, they understand you've been in school, you know, less than a couple of weeks sometimes, and sometimes less than a month. And so they're going to give you a little bit of leeway. But still, you do have to look and sound your best.
Yeah. My intern has told me that you compose a lot of your own musical arrangements and marching routines. I understand that's pretty uncommon among high school band directors. Why do you choose to put that much work into it instead of, you know, just buying the music and buying the routines?
Well, sometimes when you buy what we call stock literature, which is just comes right from the publishers, it doesn't fit our needs or our particular personnel. You know, we're in a smaller school, and we have to choose wisely. And sometimes I just make the songs either easier or less difficult. And then sometimes I'll just write things like a percussion feature because that's my forte and I can do it. It's cheaper that way, and I can write to my audience exactly, or my players. I know exactly what they can do.
You know, as you start off a new year like this, Brad, what's the toughest challenge that you face in terms of getting your band ready to go? I mean, is it the marching? Is it the playing of the music? I mean, where does the rubber hit the road for you each summer?
All of the above, but I would have to say that right off the bat, uniformity. We talk about that just all the time. Uniformity is the key, whether you're marching or playing. But typically, I would say the biggest challenge is definitely getting everybody's feet to look the same and everybody's body posture, because that's what you're graded on.
And how do you go about instilling that in your students?
Well, actually, I'm blessed to have kids that I can just say, now, these are your upperclassmen, and this is the way it's done. And they put a lot of pressure on each other because they understand who we are. And you know, I was just telling them we're one of the very few bands that have gotten a 1+ 8 times straight at the Andover Marching Festival, and that is a lot of pressure, but it's also a blessing because you can say, this is what is expected of us. You know, it's kind of like the Broncos next year. You know, we were a great team. We need to be a great team again. So the kids do a lot of it for me.
So to what extent is the Haven High School known for its marching band around the state?
I can't speak for the state. I know that we've done some competitions with bands from your end of the area. My daughter was the assistant band director at Mill Valley.
Sure.
Until last year, so we got to see them a couple times, and then I would say that people know of us because of that, maybe, and just having a great program. And we also have a steel drum program, which people know us for. Quite a bit.
I was also struck, Brad, that you have about 75 kids in your marching band. There's only 250 kids in the entire high school, which strikes me as an awfully high percentage. You know, that's roughly 30% of the kids in the whole school are in the marching band. What makes so many Haven high schoolers want to be part of your band?
I like to think it's because we have a very good time. And while we're having fun, though, excellence is the expectation, and there's nobody who doesn't want to be on a winning team. You know, that's just everybody likes to have fun and win, and I think, but there's so many choices for high school kids these days that having it be fun is the key, and you have to let the kids have a little bit of ownership in the routine or whatever you're working on. If they have ownership in it, then they will want to do it again.
Hey, how do you make it fun?
Well, you know, like at our band camp today, we're having, when you come in the door, everybody brings a prize, and we have drawings throughout the day, and you know, we'll have fun activities for them. But on a daily basis, the fun is having the kids, again, they have participation in it, and they get to maybe say what happens in the next 17 counts if I'm drawing a blank or something. I let them do that, and you know, and we'll have competitions for what part of the show we want to do. So it's we actually give them a lot to think about, and I think they have fun with that.
That's Brad Shores. He's the director of the Haven High School Marching Band, shooting for another 1+ rating at this year's Kansas State Fair. And Brad, so good to have you. Good luck again this year and next month out in Hutchinson, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Good luck, Brad. Well, Kyle Buller joins us now. He's the reigning Kansas State Fair arm wrestling champ in his weight class of 155 pounds. He's the only known State Fair arm wrestler to compete in a wheelchair. Kyle Buller, welcome to Up to Date. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
How did you first get interested in arm wrestling, Kyle?
Well, I had always lifted weights and pushed my wheelchair, and actually, I used to be a very, very skinny kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I would just keep lifting weights, and I would do some arm wrestling in high school, to, you know, just for fun. But then I started realizing that none of my classmates wanted to arm wrestle me anymore. So
you had something going on there, right?
Maybe I should do it competitively.
Yeah.
Get some more competition.
Hey, how long have you been in a wheelchair, Kyle?
I was in one since I was born, so 31 years.
Okay. What made you think that you could compete in a wheelchair? Was it just your experience going up against your fellow high schoolers, or what made you think that?
Well, a lot of it was a few years ago. I was volunteering at the grade school here with the elementary kids. And they wanted me, and their teacher wanted to bring me in to sort of illustrate and, you know, give the kids some motivation that you can do whatever you set your mind to.
Hmm.
So they sort of served as my motivation for trying that.
Describe what a competition looks like, Kyle. What happens when you gear up to go up against somebody? What's the process?
Well, they have, first of all, they have two separate size tables. They have a division for kids and a division for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a, And on one end, on your right-hand side, there's your mat where you set your elbow and where you actually arm wrestle.
Right.
And then on your other side, you have a steel bar that you hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hold on to the steel bar any way you want. And then when the MC or whatever when he says go, then you start arm wrestling. He actually has what's called a two go system. When he says go the first time, you tense up, and then when he says go the second time, then you actually start struggling.
Ah,
and that actually keeps it safer, so you don't snap somebody's wrist or.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's the psychological aspect of competing in an arm wrestling contest? I mean, I'm thinking when you first sort of, you know, you wheel up to one of your opponents to begin a match, how do you approach that moment? Are you trying to psych that person out right from the get-go?
Actually, it's really, really hard to psych people out. But so I just go up there and try to and try to give it all I got. For training before this, one of the things that's involved is they always tell you that a arm wrestling match is won in the first couple seconds. And a lot of it has to do with explosive power.
Ah.
So a lot of what I do is I will play on my Nintendo Wii at home and play golf, so I can get my arm exercises and get my explosive power.
Huh. Don't you lift a lot of weights too?
Yeah, I do. I go to the wellness center about three or four times a week, and yeah. We actually have a new new machine there that somebody had donated that was specifically designed by a paraplegic. So it's really going to help me a lot.
Are you competing again this year, or once you've won it, are you excluded from competition?
Oh no, I've actually competed. 3 years now. The first year I won my division, and then the second year and the third year I didn't do so well, but I definitely plan on competing this year.
So you're trying to make a comeback here of sorts, if I have it right.
Yeah, I am trying to make a comeback.
Yeah. A typical match lasts how long, Kyle?
It just depends. There's no time limit. It just depends. The first year I did it, the guy I competed against, I don't remember his name right now, but our first match lasted 5 minutes.
Huh. Wow.
And that is a very long time.
That's a very long time. That's amazing. Are you ready to go this year?
I think so. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Well, listen, good luck, Kyle. It's Kyle Buller. He's a former Kansas State arm wrestling champ in the 155-pound weight class, and we'll be rooting for you out here in Kansas City, Kyle. Good luck.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking with a series of state fair champs from Missouri and Kansas from a whole range of categories. Joining me now is a quintessential Missourian, a Missouri competition. Junior Marriott has won first place at the Missouri State Fair Fiddling Champs for over 10 years now. He and his wife own and operate Marriott Music in Ava, Missouri. Junior travels to states all over parts of the Midwest and the South to compete and to judge fiddling competitions. And Junior, nice to have you. Welcome to Up to Date.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And why the fiddle, Junior?
I think I was just kind of born into that. My dad was a fiddle player, my grandpa, my uncles, my aunts, my kids. it's just something that we've done for many generations.
And it goes back how many years in your family?
Oh, I would say 80 or 90, you know, maybe 100, and probably beyond that. You know, we haven't really traced it back that far, but, you know, I know from the early 1900s anyway.
So you didn't have any choice, it sounds like.
No, it was going to kick me if I didn't play the fiddle.
Yeah, yeah. We have a little bit of fiddle music here. I want to play a little bit of this. This is from Junior Marriott playing in the Missouri State Fair. I love it, Junior. That sounds great. One thing that struck me about this competition is when you're on stage, there are several other musicians around you playing along with you. Why is that?
Well, most of this music that we play and fill in competitions is old-time dance music.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have a good dance, it's all about the beat. And the fiddle, in my opinion, gets way more credit than it's due. Without a good guitar player who plays strong bass notes or actually having an old bass with you, an upright bass, it's, you know, it's not much, it's not really danceable, I would say, without the good beat. So those guys playing beside me there or at any competition, you know, they earn their money and we need them badly because the fiddle would just be an instrument that, you know, kind of squeaks around a lot without the chords behind it.
What does it take to be a champion fiddler, Junior?
Dedication, I would say, would be the biggest thing. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. You have to, you know, put in your time and you gotta keep in mind that you're always being judged by other fiddle players, or you should be being judged by other fiddle players. That knows what's going on, but they all have opinions, and that, you know, certain guys like things better than they do other things, you kind of, I'd say one of the biggest things to being a good contest player would be being able to understand what your judges like and being able to perform that to the best of your ability on that day, and your judging panel is always changing. So it requires that, you know, you know a lot of songs.
Yeah, I was struck by that piece that we just played. You're not being judged necessarily on being the fastest fiddle player, and maybe that was one of the first things that came to my mind when I saw that you were coming on, that you'd be a speed demon. I'm sure you can go fast, but speed isn't the only thing that you're being judged on.
No. You're being judged on a tempo. There's 100 points possible for each tune, 25 points in the Missouri rules anyway. There's 25 points possible for pleasing tone. You know, you want to play in tune and all that. And there's 25 points for timing. So those two categories make up 50% of your score.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have overall execution. And that can mean a lot of things. You know, you can add a measure of music or take a measure of music away, and it will change the dance that was, you know, supposed to be danced to this song if it was at a dance. So they judge on that. You need to know that a breakdown has 16 bars of music and, you know, that kind of stuff, too.
And the types of songs you typically play, those good old-fashioned songs, right?
Oh, yeah. Most of this stuff dates way back, you know. I'm pretty sure that they have revamped them somewhat to be competitive with them. But the root of the song is still there, you know, and a lot of these tunes came from, you know, overseas. They migrated with us when our ancestors moved to this country, and we call them a breakdown and a hoedown. That is more of your square dance style tune. And you know, I've heard that when the wagon trains was coming from the east going to the west, when they made it from St. Louis and they were going on west, if they had a wheel come off of a covered wagon or whatever, for any reason the wagon train would break down, they would fix and repair, and then they would have a little shindig that night. That's where the term breakdown come from.
Yeah.
And then when they got home or wherever they were going, when they put the plow in the ground to plow the fields, that was the hoedown, and that's where that term came from.
I didn't know either of those things. That's great. Our intern has told us that you've competed all over the Midwest and even parts of the South, but you usually don't compete west of the Mississippi. Why is that?
East of the Mississippi.
East of the Mississippi. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I don't know. A lot of people in Missouri probably don't think I'm as traditional as I do, but I like to pretty well, you know, stick to the tune. And these tunes all have catchy melody lines. And I heard an old fiddle player. Well, he was telling me this one time. He said, "Always remember, Junior." He said, "If you play the tune and you play it right, there's enough fiddling in it for everybody. Don't be doctoring it up."
What's the difference, just real quickly, Junior, between fiddlers and violinists?
Discipline, I would say. Violinists, it's all the same instrument. Their instrument is set up a little different than ours. And, you know, they're passed out a sheet of music and told what to play. And fiddle players pretty well have the reins the whole time. You know, they can step on the accelerator or back off at any time, but they don't have to answer to the conductor.
And, Junior, you're competing again this year, right?
I think so. I'm not sure. Sometimes I judge. You know, I just kind of leave it open. If they need me to judge, I'm there to support the fiddling. And if they need me to play, I'll play.
Well, that's Junior Merritt. He's a first-place champ at the Missouri State Fair Fiddling Championships. What a pleasure to have you, Junior. I really enjoyed it. Good luck, okay?
You bet. Thank you, guys.
You bet. The Kansas State Fair runs from September 5th through the 14th out in Hutch. The Missouri State Fair opens up this week, August 7th. It runs through the 17th in Sedalia. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Today's show was produced by Hannah Copeland with help from Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Scott Ross. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.